Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobbenmeyer.
Hey, I'm a little bit handicapped here this morning. Not physically, not emotionally, not mentally, technologically, a little bit handicapped. We're in this. Hey, the boys are back in town. You know what I'm talking about here? There's Gary Donovan over there. There's Craig, Craig, and there's Mark Trump, and there's Bobby Lee, and there's Clay Parker, and there's Gary Pierce, and there's some women, and I'm forgetting some other guys. The boys are back in town. We are in Mayfield, Kentucky, where there was a hurricane, tornado hit here back December 10th, I think it was. So that's 15 days ago. Is that right? No, 16, long time ago. But we're in this. I got to say this. Craig, what's the name of this place?
Trace Creek Church.
Trace Creek Church. It's a mega church. You know what I think about mega churches, right? I can't believe how this pastor here has opened this place up. I mean, it's amazing. They open it up and there isn't anybody around keeping an eye on it. They move beautiful, beautiful facilities. This is about 5 or 6 miles probably outside of the town of Mayfield, which is, I'm going to do my Brideon show. My plan is today to do my Brideon show live from downtown Mayfield so you can get a feel for what's going on. I'm going to get Trump in here. I'm going to get Craig in. I'm going to do some interviews here this morning so you can hear from some of these guys. I got some good stuff, some really, really good stuff to share with you today. And we traveled. It's 6.5 hours from my house to be here to Mayfield. The internet was, I was a little iffy. I didn't know if I was going to be able to do a show because I kept losing my internet. And in fact, I'm on my cell phone rather than on my computer. So I'm doing the best that I can here this morning. For those of you who don't know, we have a history of doing this. But you think about every major disaster going back to Katrina. We kept a team on the ground in Katrina for about 6 weeks. We were there. We were one of the first ones there. And we've been to all of them. And we were, I've been working. Bobby Lee's been doing a lot of the work, working behind the scenes, getting set up for us to get down here and finding a church to operate out of. And then one of the really tough things for us is we get down here, then we have to, you got to do some scouting, some logistics for on the road. What do you do when we get down here? Where do we stay? Where do you work? Folks, this place, I've never seen anything like it. And I'm going to show you a video here in a second. I've been to a lot of these things. And the downtown Mayfield, it looked like someone took a bomb and dropped it right. If you go into a normal small town in wherever you live, you know, they have that courthouse and then they have the old Methodist church, the old Stone Methodist church on one corner and the old Stone Methodist Presbyterian church on the other corner. And you guys know what I'm talking about. You drive into Mayfield. Again, this 16 days ago already. You drive in there and it's like they dropped a bomb right down on top of the courthouse and blew up all those churches around it. I've never seen anything like it. I have no idea how they'll rebuild. I'll show you some pictures here in a second. So we got a crew of about 16, 20. I was not sure. Not everybody's here yet. And we're going to go wherever they want us to go today. Maybe in downtown Mayfield, maybe outside. It's pretty devastating. So that's why all the boys are back in town here. Let me show you here real quickly. Spence, it says Mayfield. It's the fourth one down. And folks, this is a video of Mayfield, a drone video, and no sound to it. And I can't follow along on my, well, maybe if I switch cameras here, I can. Can a little bit go ahead and do it. So Spencer, go ahead and let me know when that thing's playing. What's that about? I'm sorry. I threw you a fast one there. I know I did. Get rid of that. Let me get rid of my, I'm working on a computer here, folks. Did you get it's playing? Okay, thanks. No sound to it. I'll try to talk over it a little bit if I can get it up here on my screen, maybe. That's it right there, I think. It's amazing. Now, again, this is a couple weeks ago when this drone was taken. Small town. A lot of people come through. They've done a lot of cleaning up. You see, City Hall. Look how this thing's blown out from the top down. And then the churches around. I can't even. It's amazing to see. This stone edifices. This, it's like it hit downtown and then skipped out of town and didn't. It's amazing. So what you're going to try to figure out today, you know, where do we go? Where's the crew working today? It's been 2 weeks. Been a lot of trees already been cut down. Bobby Lee's done a miraculous job. He's got a bunch of supplies donated, 6 chainsaws donated from Lowe's and Home Depot and other places. This wasn't a real big town to begin with. So again, I'm going to try to do my Brighteon show from downtown today so people can really get a good feeling for what's going on. Stacked up cars. Amazing. It's just small town America. Blown to smithereens. Okay, Spence, you can quit showing that now. So that's why we're here. That's what we're trying to do. And wow. So it makes you appreciate. Let me anybody want to jump in here real quick? Spencer, you have to help me. I can't see the queue. Anybody got anything you want to say here? Hey, Craig, get over here a minute. Anybody go ahead? No? No hands. Okay. I got to show you something else before. I don't want to make this show all about Mayfield, okay? I got a new hat on today. I don't know if you noticed my new hat. I got to show you something. That this is one of the most amazing things that I've ever seen in my life, but I got to show it to you. I don't know if you guys know Pastor James David Manning. You know, I'm always talking about churches not taking on the tough issues. Never taking on the tough issues. Well, Pastor James David Manning's a pastor in Harlem, New York. He was the guy who became famous because he called Obama the long-legged Mac Daddy. I don't know if you guys remember that or not. But I went out to his church, and I spoke at his church, did some ministry work with him, took some bread out to him, did some different things out to him. And so I have a history with Pastor Manning. And I came across a video. Again, I'm always talking about pastors won't talk about the hard stuff, right? They won't take on the hard thing. Well, Spencer, pull that up, Pastor Manning, and take it to the 4-minute mark. Folks, let me give you a little bit of a background here. This is the most amazing thing I've ever seen in a church. Evidently, something that's happening, I don't know if it's just a pastor. This is on Facebook, okay? So I didn't steal this. I'm not talking out of school or anything. But all weekend, I've been wanting to show you guys this. Evidently, in the black community, women are turning to lesbianism to the point that the Pastor Manning felt he needed to address it in his church. That's his wife standing behind him there, beside him there, by the way. And of all my years ever in church, I never have heard anything like what you're about to hear. I don't know if the average pastor in America can get away with this. It goes on for about 13 minutes, but I'm going to just play a 4-minute segment. Are you guys sitting down? Hey, listen, some of you, I'm going to give you fair warning. Some of you may consider this to be vulgar. Friends, this is from the pulpit. Okay? This is from Sunday service in the pulpit, Pastor James David Manning taking on this idea that women are starting to sleep around with other women. Say, you got to listen to this thing, man. I don't know how to make it so these guys can hear it. Are you guys ready? Are you guys all sitting down? Are you sitting down? I hope you're sitting down. Okay. Let it roll there, Spence.
And I'm just trying to help you. You're going to suffer for the rest of your days. In gymnasium. Women in particular. Men, yeah. But women in particular. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do it. Go home and pray. Don't let that woman get you between her legs. Don't. Daughters, don't do that. It ain't right. You know, Elder LaFleur, a large reason why some of these mothers have taken their daughters out of this church is because I preach against it. And the daughters see mama at home on the telephone and see who mama's friends are. And it gets to a point where the mama can't take it no more. So she said, I got to take the child out of school because the child is looking at me and favoring Pastor Manning over me. And so I'll just wreck the school. But what's worse than that, it's going to be very difficult if we don't stop these women from gapping their legs and putting their mouth between another woman's leg or on her butthole. If we don't stop it, it's going to be hard to get, because the women are making the decisions about the school. It's going to be hard to get women to bring their children to this church because they don't want someone as strong as me teaching against it, the child going home and seeing the wretchedness. And I give Bible understanding and scripture upon scripture about why it's wrong, how it's wrong, and yet the mama is doing it at home. And so we can't bring them to that school. Let's take them to the public school where they teach it's okay to do that. Now the mama's thinking about herself and her wretched sex life with another woman. Sisters, don't do it. Get out of it. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Don't do it. Ain't worth it. It ain't the thrill. It ain't worth it. First of all, it's sick as hell. It just, and you know that it is. And I don't mean to be racist or anything like that. That's not what I'm here to do. I'm just a Lord's servant. All I want to do is tell the truth. But these Japheth women, they done gone crazy. They done gone crazy with this lesbian homo stuff. Everywhere you look on television now, you got two men in the kitchen mixing bowls and kissing one another. Buying insurance and taking Victor. They done gone buck wild with this thing. I'm telling you. Let me say something to you. You may never have another sexual experience in your entire natural born life, but you're better off and you have more of a sanity, peace of mind, and blessings of God if you stay away from that. Don't go down that road. Women, don't do it. And whatever you do, don't let your children be exposed to that. Fight like you can to protect your children from this wretchedness. This is a Goliath out here in the world now, and it seems like I'm the only one that's standing up. You say, well, why won't people come to the church? Why people won't come to pastor? Why would they not go to a school where their children can get in Yale or Juilliard? Why won't they bring them here? Because they'd rather have sex between another woman with a mouth on another woman's vagina rather than bringing their child to a school where the man of God is going to stand up and make it clear it's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. I don't care how lonely you are.
Come on now. You ever heard anything like that? Now, question of the day. Is he out of line? Is he out of line?
No.
He's on point.
Come on. Come on. Come on in, Tracy.
No, he's not.
What would you do if you walked into your white man's church and the pastor was talking to you about that? Like that.
I'd probably step up and start clapping.
He said hell.
Yeah. I'd be going back to that church.
He said hell from the pulpit. Yeah.
Right? Hey, coach.
He said hell.
That's why we have what's going on now, is because it's not being done.
Hey, coach. That's a shepherd. That's a shepherd.
That's a shepherd. That is
He's protecting the flock.
That's a shepherd, right?
And if more pastors that talk and about things
harsh,
like that,
clear,
he wouldn't have a mom jab day in the church.
He's not out of line. He's out of the
Hang
line.
On a minute, let's. He's out of the line. He's in the right line, isn't he? Huh?
He's probably the only one that's line.
Amen.
Does anybody? Let me go. Dale, come on in. And then I want to ask this question. Does anybody find this objectionable? Hey, Clay, I'd love a cup of coffee if you'd take care of me here. And then I want to get some of these guys over here to talk to you. Somebody help me out. Betty, is this out of line? Can you imagine in any church in America, a white church in America, that a guy can you just scream?
I can't imagine. I would love this. I might send this to my pastor.
Well, Coach
13 minutes.
Coach, deep in the heart of this, and I don't know who came in and said he was being a shepherd. He's first being the shepherd of that flock. There's something going on in his church, and it needed to be dealt and addressed with. I mean, truly, this is a heart-wrenching thing. He's not just preaching, you know, spread across America. We see these things going on. He's dealing with stuff that is happening in his church.
And his church.
He's not turning a blind eye to that whatsoever. He's addressing it. So he is. And yes, it is something. And I know Pastor Manning. Listen, he has preached against things in such nature for a long time. So it's not like all of a sudden it's hit his church. So he's not just all of a sudden coming on board. You ready for this? Did I throw the stick in the gumbo pot? You know how I opened up my message yesterday? Does God hate? The day after Christmas, does God hate? You want to talk about, I was right there with him.
Amen. So I just found out there's a little bit of delay here, so I'm sorry. That's why we're kind of walking on each other. I get a little. So thanks, Spencer, for that heads up. And so help me bring the next guy in, so we don't walk on each other. I'm going to get Clay in here a second. Somebody, go ahead. So help me out, Spencer. Go ahead, Bishop. Thanks, man.
Sorry, I'm here. I'm here.
Okay.
I'm on the line too. Thank you, Coach. Good morning, team. This pastor here is showing his heart. He is concerned. This symptom of what has happened, it's all just symptoms of the same disease, but this has struck a chord, and he sees it in his church for sure. There's an article here from the Daily Mail, and it says that children are being brainwashed by TikTok videos on cool trans surgery. It's been viewed over 26 billion times.
Billion?
Oh my goodness.
Well, see,
yeah,
Pastor,
26 billion times.
See, Pastor,
this
Manning,
is for kids between ages of 15 years old and older watching this stuff.
So he's telling them that it's the Goliath. And I thought, boy, is that ever true, huh? That this is a Goliath. And then he goes on later on to talk about the fact that the women are doing it. Why? Because they can't find real men. They can't find real men. So they're looking to satisfy their sexual appetites with one another. Listen, folks, it gets more graphic. Spencer, maybe you can stick that somehow in the chat. This is worth all of you listening to. In all my life, all my years around church, I'd never heard a man brave enough and bold enough to be able to say what this guy says in this. That's his wife standing behind him the whole time, right? It's amazing. Who was after Rochelle was trying to come in? I'm sorry.
Me.
Go ahead, Joe.
He speaks a clear, understandable language.
Amen.
Okay, because the people talk about sin. He's talking vaginas. Okay, the language.
Yes.
Okay, and the way he portrays it.
Vulgar,
but it's accurate.
Because it's true, right?
It's vulgar.
Yeah. What else is he supposed to say, right? Yeah. Yes, sir, Brett.
Hey, Coach. Just one thing on top of that. I don't know of any pastors. Every pastor I know, maybe one exception, except for this Pastor Manning, which we were with you that time down in Gettysburg. He is one, he's not putting money before God.
No,
you know,
he's not.
How many people may be thinking about, you know, or was he worried about leaving the church in a message like that? You know, you got to give it to the guy.
I never heard anything like it in my life, ever in my life. It's almost a parody. In fact, when I first watched it, I thought this isn't real, but I know him. I've been at that church. I know that it's real. Shocking. Anybody got their hand up? I can't see.
Mike,
I'll move on. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, Coach.
Mike's here. Mike and Paul.
Yeah, Coach, all I can say is faggots are maggots, michaelheath.org.
Yeah, well, Mike, they tried to run you out of politics for even saying that too, right?
Well, they ran me out of, right? Worse than that, well, they ran me out of politics, they ran me out of the church, and in the end, they ran me out of FedEx. I couldn't even hold a minimum wage job.
So. Yeah. Not allowed to have an opinion in regards to that kind of stuff. Anybody else on Dr. Manny before I move on here?
We got Paul Webb in Revelation 2015.
Okay. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, Coach. What Dale was talking about is true, because now this is true everywhere, but particularly in the Black community, you've had a very much an attack on men, taking men out of the family. And that's what's been going on. Right. And this all started back in the 60s with the Great Society and all that stuff. And it's happened everywhere, but that's where it's starting. Right. He's noticing that in his community, and that's why he's addressing it. And that's why I'm saying he's a true shepherd. And if more churches would talk about stuff like this, you know, you wouldn't have half the problems that you have today. They'd be bold enough.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if the people would take it, Paul. I don't know if they would. Revelation, who do you say? Next one, come on in. Thanks, Paul. By the way, this sounds like, doesn't it? Paul, is that the way it is in most Black churches? I mean, isn't it stupid? Do we even have to talk like that? All right? I'd like to hear some of that in white churches, to be honest with you. Clay Polchair, get up over here. Go ahead. Come on in. Whoever is next in line, come on in. I can't see my screen.
Hey, thanks, Coach. Honestly, I don't think the pastor's mad enough about this. If I were a pastor and I had my own congregation, I would take it as a personal failure if one of my people from the flock was led astray. And, yeah, that's just what I think.
Coach, we're getting some pausing, some freezing, just so you know. Myra, come on in here while we're waiting for Coach.
Good morning, Saints. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of the God. We just pray to the Lord for mercy upon us in the United States and in the world for this sin. Thank you.
Larry, go ahead.
Amen, Myra.
Amen, Myra.
Yeah, I just want to say that, you know, it's a reality of what Pastor Manning is talking about. It's reality. It's what's happening in his surroundings, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. I mean, virtually, I don't watch hardly any TV, you know, network TV or anything. But what I do happen to catch a glimpse of is all of it centered on promoting and glorifying that lifestyle. I think it is.
Yep. And,
you know, and I think it's 1 Peter 2:17. It gives us one verse, gives us very short instructions on how to deal with anybody on the face of the earth. Let me turn to it here real quick. 1 Peter 2:17.
Larry's digging there, I think the entire sex has been perverted. The truth of the matter is, pornography has destroyed the mind of certainly men, and possibly more and more women are watching pornography than we imagine. And it's the fantasization, right? Fantasizing. Sex has become, how do I say it, Clay? Sex has become almost virtual selfishness is really what it's become. And that goes back to the sexual revolution. When it feels good, do it. Wasn't that Timothy Leary? Feels good, do it.
Yeah, yeah. The Nicolaitans, that was their downfall, right?
Go ahead.
1 Peter 2:17. Yeah. It says, honor all men. Now, this honor here is when you dig into it, it is not set them on a pedestal and listen to what they say with bated breath so you can follow them and use them as examples to live after and live by. It just means recognize everyone is who they are. That's what honor all men is. Recognize everyone is who they are. So you recognize a sinner is a sinner. He's supposed to sin, et cetera, et cetera. So honor all men. It says love the brotherhood. So when it comes to the family of God, the brothers and sisters in Christ, it's more than honor. We're commanded to love each other, love one another dozens of times in the Bible. And it's each other, not everybody. And it says fear God. So that's pretty simple right there. Two words tells you what your relationship and attitude toward and with God is. And then honor the king, little K. And that is give reverence, not reverence, but give way to, like Jesus says, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. But honor all men. We got to understand that Satan is out to destroy mankind. And how do you destroy mankind? You keep them from propagating. How do you keep them from propagating? You get women to lay with women and men to lay with men. And we can't change it. The Holy Spirit can change anyone's heart and behavior if they're willing to let him do it. But we can't do that. And the only part we should even try to play, Pastor Manning gave that message, I'm 100% sure, because the Holy Spirit gave him the message to give. Right. And we should be the same way.
One other thing, Larry, let me jump in and then we'll let Clay bark a couple minutes here. When he says honor the king, we have to remember, folks, that the whole idea of self-government and individual rights is new. It wasn't back in the scripture time, right? So everybody we're talking about, they had a king. There was a king. Now, America doesn't have a king anymore. We the people are the king in America. We the people are. And we've made the government a king because the scriptures tell us that we're always looking for a king. We always want somebody to rule over us, right? That's how we got in the mess that we're in right now, that we allowed the federal government to become the king. And we just think it's different because every 4 years we get to elect a new king. But that's the battle that we have to fight. Truth. Truth is king. Jesus is king in America, not the government. So anybody out there that said, see, there you go, you're supposed to honor the king. Just trying to explain that a little bit better. Got my good buddy Clay. I don't know what you want to say, Clay, but go ahead. Clay's here. Clay got off work. That's a story there. Go ahead, Clay.
Hey, guys. Hey, gang. Good to see everybody.
You can't see him all. What are you talking about? You're lying.
No, I can see Larry.
Okay.
Yep. Wish everybody could be here with us.
There'll be another one. We're going to try to set up a more extensive stay when we're down here, figure out what just exactly where we can help and everything.
We don't know exactly what we're going to get into today, but we're just hoping we'll find somebody that we can serve and bless, you know.
We got an army down here for sure. Looking for a good one. Anybody got a hand up here? I'm kind of distracted because my camera went down.
Mel.
Well, there you are, Clay. We're looking pretty good. Go ahead.
Hey,
come on in.
Good morning, everybody. So,
hey, Mel.
It's not just the pornography. It's been normalized in schools, you know, not even just the television shows, but the commercials. And so I think that the corporations that run these commercials and things, I mean, it's just being compliant and, you know, showing that they're woke to the message that, you know, the government's putting out. So, yeah, we've got a big problem on our hands, but it's definitely, you know, a problem, and it's being normalized by all sectors. It's kind of a multifaceted problem.
By the way, Mel, that's why I'm so amazed. I don't know if I've ever heard a pastor ever address sex from the pulpit. I don't know if I've ever heard it, let alone that, as graphic as he made it.
Yeah, I love it. I agree. I mean,
we don't hear it, right? We don't hear it.
He's being a true shepherd. And I mean, and that, you know, I think about the, you know, pastors that, you know, aren't addressing things like, you know, lesbianism or, you know, homosexuality, but even, you know, pastors that aren't addressing the truth about this jab, you know, I think that the pastors who are not being shepherds about the truth, you know, they're going to have to stand before the Lord and, you know, make an account for that.
Amen, Mel. Hey, Spence, do me a favor. Somebody got their hand up, bring them in. If not, while you're bringing them in, Spencer, click on third thing from the bottom, abusive relationship, if you could. Anybody with their hand up? If not, I'll go right to it. Try to follow it on my own screen. That's one of the problems.
No hands right
I'm
now.
Having. No hands right. Okay, cool.
Coach, this is Carl. I'm on the phone.
Hey,
yeah,
Carl.
I'll admit that I'll come out and admit that I'm in Sexaholics Anonymous. And the problem with that is that there's a certain class of people that need to hear preaching like that. But then there's two other classes, one that's too innocent and young to hear it, and the others that are addicts. When you try to talk that way to an addict, you only get them excited, and you won't accomplish anything. And so I wanted to add that a little bit. Thank you.
So you think you should have done it or not, Carl?
Well, it depends on who he's talking to. You have to be sensitive to your audience.
Sure.
You know, it just depends.
Did you ever, hey, Carl, question for all of you out there. Did any of you ever have a sex talk with your dad? Ever really have a sex talk with your father?
Not enough, no.
I didn't. And then especially when sex education came in, then it was totally completely left to the family, right? So, man, it's a mess. It's a mess. All right, I'm trying to figure out how I can get, let me go over here. I can't see what Spencer just pulled up on his. I'm going to have to click on this. I wanted to show you this, friends. This is from the Conservative Treehouse. And it's talking about an abusive relationship. Now, where can I find it? There it is. Over here on the right-hand side. And it's about, are you in an abusive relationship with your government? These are the characteristics of an abusive relationship with another person or an abusive relationship in a church or wherever it would be. And 15 signs that you might be in an abusive relationship. Number one, they stop you from seeing friends and family. Ding, 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 ding. Number two, won't let you leave home without permission. Now, we're talking about a husband-wife relationship, or however, these are abusive relationships. These are the characteristics. And look at our relationship with our government. So stop you from seeing your family and friends. Won't let you leave home without permission. Number three, they tell you what to wear. Wow, this is deep, isn't it? Four, they monitor your phone, your emails, your communications. Five, they control your finances, won't let you work, make you stay at home, won't let the wife out of the, won't let her out of the house to go out. Number six, they control what you read, what you watch, what you say. Anybody think we're in an abusive relationship with the government? Number seven, they monitor everything you do. Number eight, they punish you for breaking rules that keep changing. Wow. Number nine, they tell you it's for your own good and they know better. Number 10, they don't allow you to question their decisions. How do you know if you're in an abusive relationship? Number 11, they tell you you're crazy. No one agrees with you. Let's sink in. Number 12, they call you names or shame you for being selfish. Number 13, they gaslight you, challenge your memory of events, make you doubt yourself. 14, they dismiss your opinions. And number 15, they play the victim. If things go wrong, it's all your fault. Unbelievable. Abusive. How do you know when you're in an abusive relationship? That's us, isn't it? Hey, I got to take him. The pastor just walked in.
Can you put that in the chat, please?
We're live. Sit down here a minute. Sit down just a second. Just a second. We're live around the world here.
Wow.
Huh?
That's awesome.
I was bragging on you earlier. Oh. Bragging on your church. What the heck are you doing? Letting scoundrels like us just come in.
That's normal around here. That's what we are. Huh? We're scoundrels. Saved by grace, though.
It's unbelievable because you know, I look at kind of as a mega church. I mean, I don't know if you guys can see this pretty big church, yeah. Right? Big building over there. And when you moved us last night from over there to in here, I said, my God, we got upgraded, right? We got upgraded. So aren't your elders screaming at home saying, oh, they're going to mess up the church. They're going to get it dirt. You don't
know. No, I haven't heard a word of that. They want people here. Absolutely.
It's been going on for what? Two weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks
plus. Got all the, not Samaritan, but all those other guys out there that are cooking and all that stuff. Yeah. They're out there.
Yeah, Operation Barbecue Relief out in the back parking lot, and hopefully they'll be here for a couple more days. And Samaritan's going to be here for a good while longer, I hope, I think. And guys like you coming in is making a world of difference in our community.
It's turned your life upside down, though, hasn't it?
For sure.
I mean, this is 24 hours a day stuff.
Yeah, it is. You know, obviously not my life as much as those who are in it, but, you know, we're trying to do our part. Absolutely.
Well, we appreciate you being so nice to us.
I'll do my best to
keep all these guys in line, but they're pretty good. They're pretty good stuff.
We're glad that you're here, and we love what you're doing.
Thanks, Pastor. Thank you. God bless you, man. I'm telling you, don't get many like that, boy. It's good. Okay, switch back. What do you think about the abusive relationship, friends? Got hands up, Dale or Spence? No hands. Nobody say anything.
Rochelle.
As usual, I struggle when I can't see y'all. I feel like I'm doing a solo act here, right? I can't see y'all. Rochelle, come on in.
Hey, Coach. I might be a topic behind, but I'm gonna go ahead with it anyway. You've addressed several times. You've read over the air, I think, the 45 goals of communism, right. And number 25 is break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, yep. Motion pictures, radio, TV. So your taint morality basically is goal number 25. And then another one, in 1923, the Frankfurt School, they presented their 11-point plan. And number 3 was the teaching of sex and deviant sexuality to children.
Yep.
So the thing here is they know that if they can get inside a child's brain at a very young age, when they're in a theta brainwave state, they can tell them all kinds of lies, and it's yep. going to take them a lifetime to sort it out.
Well, did you guys see? Billie Eilish? Anybody know who she is? She's all the rage. Billie Eilish. Well, that's a girl, Billie Eilish, and she came out last week and said that pornography destroyed her mind. Now she's—I don't know how old she is. She's maybe early 20s.
She's like 17.
She talked. Yeah, 17. She started watching pornography as a young child. She just came out and said it's been devastating, the effects of pornography. And, you know, it's all around us, right? It's all around us. I remember back in 1975, 76, 77, I was teaching health education at Mount Vernon High School when they had just changed the standards, and it was part of the health curriculum. You had to teach sex education. And I, even back then, I wasn't even saved. I felt dirty presenting the stuff that I was taught, that was given to me to present. I felt dirty with boys and girls in the same room. It tore down their, what's the word? Their, pardon me?
Boundaries.
Well, yeah, but
they're innocent.
Naturally, I can't think of the word.
Modesty.
Modesty, thank you. It tore down their natural modesty. Yeah, boys and girls didn't sit in a room and talk about that kind. Not a group of them, not 25 of them. And the curriculum was set up, and I'd be reading through this stuff as we're doing it. I think, are you kidding me? I didn't have the sense. See, I didn't have the sense back then to understand what was going on. And it was a tearing down of the modesty, because if you can talk about it in class, you can talk about it in phys ed class, can't you? You can talk about it when you go out and have pizza together, can't you? And it tore down that modesty and broached subjects that we have in our homes. Put barriers up so our children didn't learn about them. My dad never spoke the first word to me about sex, not the first word. My mom tried to. I remember she sat me down. I was about 11, 12. I don't remember what it was. She sat me down one day, and she was nervous, and she's trying to have a conversation with me about masturbation. I didn't even know what the word meant. Didn't even know. And she's talking to me. She talks to me for about 5 minutes about it. And finally, I asked her, I said, Mom, what are you talking about? What? what are you talking about? And then she said that word. She said, jacking off. That's the only sex talk I ever had with either one of my parents. And look at our children today, how they're bombarded, because it is almost, sex is the forbidden fruit. It is outside of the bonds of marriage. It is the forbidden fruit. And it's, Craig said, it's turned into the bread of life. Everything is about the flesh and sex. And that's what I was saying the other day. I told you guys when I get on Facebook, all these pretty women always popping up. You know what? You didn't do a damn thing to get that body. You were born with that thing. Now, some people maybe exercise and, or some have surgeries, but to glorify somebody just because they were blessed with the right type of body, how have we allowed this to happen to us, right? And then we see the women's liberation movement said that we're supposed to respect women for their minds, yet they flaunt their bodies. Wow. It's deep, man. That's why, again, flipping back to Pastor Manning, the courage that guy had to say that stuff is, man, oh, man. He said hell from the pulpit.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, yes. Coach, I don't want to jump in, but
go ahead, jump in.
Sorry.
It doesn't matter because I can't see the screen anyway. Jump in.
I have a 911 from your wife, Michelle.
Uh-oh.
Asking for prayers. Your son and Adrian are going into the hospital right now. So that's what she's trying to get a hold of you.
Uh-oh. That's my son's first. That's his first child. He's 39 years old. He's having his first.
I didn't
child.
Mean to interrupt. I'm sorry.
No, thanks. Thanks for letting me know. So everybody pray for that. Pray for that little baby, little Rose. Rose, what's the middle name? God, I can't, my brain. Well, Lord, just, man, it's natural. Let it happen, Lord. Thank you for that beautiful little life that's coming in. And I'll call my wife as soon as I get off here. You know, we have two other ones, right? My other daughter getting ready to pup here at any moment. Zach's wife, Adrian, is due on the 5th. Abby, our other daughter, Abby, due on the 4th. Gary made it. Hey, Gary, they're rolling in here. I'm sorry. Listen, probably one of the worst shows I've ever done. I'm so distracted here this morning. Can't see what's going on. I'll try to do better tomorrow. Anybody got their hand up? Go on in.
Hey, Coach, I'm sorry. This is Stephanie, and I can't see anything.
That's all right.
I wanted to say sex is a ritual, people. Our whole culture has taught us that you don't have to love somebody to have sex with them. And the caller who called in and talked about sex addiction, that's a huge thing. That's a huge thing, because when you're broken inside, you're always searching for some kind of love, and you're taught to believe that sex is love. Love is not sex, sex is not love. It's a ritual. It's supposed to be a holy ritual. And Satan has turned that upside down with letting us fornicate and convincing us that that's okay in every shape, way, and kind. That's just my opinion.
And the church doesn't speak anything against it, right? I read somewhere, boy, this is, I feel like I'm back teaching health class. I'm a little bit nervous here. I read somewhere, one of those studies, that there's a magical thing that happens when a couple, when they have an orgasm. Can I say that word? There's something almost spiritual that happens when a man and a woman reach that point. It's no wonder that our children are so spiritually confused if they're running around doing that kind of stuff, right? And it's uncomfortable even now to talk. I don't know why it is, but it's the reality of it, and it's everywhere we look. Amen. Somebody come in. Rescue me here, please.
Dr. Paul, then Mel, then Emma.
Dr. Paul, come on in. I need a doctor right now. Help me.
Good morning. I love the description of this abusive relationship. And and I guess it's the it describes narcissism, as you yes. everybody knows. And if you have a curiosity about what narcissism is, we call it one of the cluster B psychiatric or psychological problems, because it's not treatable like sociopathy. I don't believe that to be true, because spiritually everything's treatable. But right. one of the interesting things about all this is these folks, to get in these relationships, they last forever. and it's or a long time till something major happens in their lives. And they, you know, I believe it's prayer that gets them out of it. But you should also know that in the past 50, 60 years, the amount of narcissism and sociopathy has grown immensely. It's doubled.
Well, Doc, that's why they say that so many of our elected officials are narcissistic, right? They literally don't have the ability to feel empathy. They really cannot do it. They can't do it.
Absolutely.
They don't.
And, you know, interesting, the victims are empaths. Many, many, many times the victims of these are empaths, are those like, you know, Christians. We have to be, somebody mentioned it the other day, we have to be like snakes and like sheep or something. It was a quote in the Bible. I thought that was, that's why I'm here. I'm learning.
Yeah. Well, you hang around because we'll get into, we touch it all here, Doc, and we appreciate your wisdom as well. Got any hands up out there?
Mel than Emma.
Yeah, Coach, it goes back to first truths. If they can get to kids when they're young, you know, you mentioned the Frankfurt School, and a lot of that knowledge came over from Germany to the United States. And, you know, it has to do with, you know, the mind control stuff, that the child abuse that happens. If they can make an effect on a child, I think before the age 5, they can control them for their life. So I was just struck by the idea that they go after the children. And you've talked before about first truths. So I just wanted to mention that.
Yep. Well, the two greatest desires a man has is to eat and have sex. We know that, right? And I was looking at a video the other day. I called Michelle over and said, look at this. It was a video from 1960, 61, something like that. And I said, look at that. There's not one fat person in this picture. Not one fat person. And you look today at us, those two things, those two desires to eat and to have sex, they both have been polluted. Both of them have. And I'm sure you know this, Doc, that people who are dying from COVID, a lot of them are just overweight. They're just their diet, their body, they've just destroyed their body, right? Put whatever we want to put into our mouth just because it tastes good. Well, Dr. Manning, that'd be off color. I don't want to say it. Let me switch. Anybody else? I want to switch gears one more, because this is.
I just wanted to say that I homeschooled my kids all the way through school, and they somehow all figured out what sex was about, and they seemed to be healthy married people, and we didn't have one sex education class in school.
Isn't that something? Yep.
I would like to jump in quick before I leave. And thank you for doing what you guys are doing. But I have a friend that's coming up. There's a young man that's in the military, and his mother just died at 52. She got COVID, goes in the hospital, gets pneumonia, and a couple of days later, she passed away. Sad. So I think they killed her.
They did kill
her. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Bless you, Betty. Let me switch gears here one time, just wrap this up. Folks, I think we all have to wake up to something. Most of you know that I've been as big a Donald Trump supporter as anybody ever. I was in very, very early. Very, very early. I thank God Donald Trump didn't get reelected, because it's leading to the awakening of so many of the rest of us, right? But I just got to lay this out to you. Go whatever direction you want to. Listen, I'm not carrying around Trump signs anymore, Trump flags. I'm not doing that anymore. Now, friends, listen to me. I'm going to show you a real quick video about Donald Trump and vaccines. Now, I don't know if you know this. Candace Owens interviewed Donald Trump, and he went on and on and on about the vaccines and how good they were, and he's taking them all. And
can't hear anything.
Maybe play the video. Play the video until it gets on.
Both the president and I are vaxxed. And did you get the booster?
Yes.
I got it too.
Okay, so
That's a, it's a very tiny group of
people. So you heard some members of the crowd booing there, and this was at a pro-Trump event. And look, we've seen this at Trump rallies before where his supporters are booing the fact that he is getting a booster or vaccinated.
I recommend taking the vaccines. I did it. It's good. Take the vaccines. But you got, no, that's okay. That's all right. You got your freedoms.
This speaks to the exact problem here with which Americans, to a large degree, are still very resistant to getting these boosters or the vaccine in the first place.
Well, hopefully his supporters let it sink in and go get boosted or go get that first vaccine now that they know the former president. Like it didn't sound like it there. They'd like to resist.
They were booing him, which just doesn't make any sense.
President Trump is very proud that his administration developed that vaccine. That's the bottom line.
Well, look, and I think they should be.
The vaccine has been proven to kill exactly zero.
The Orange County Coroner's Office is investigating the death of a woman who passed away several days after getting her second Moderna vaccine.
The Lisa Shaw died after complications of the AstraZeneca COVID vaccination.
Today could be your lucky day. California's first vaccine lottery drawing takes place tonight.
That's right. You could win $1 million.
You want to be part of the fun? Get vaccinated.
Residents that have been vaccinated could receive incentives like free haircuts and even manicures.
Did you say free fries when you get vaccinated? I got vaccinated. You're saying I could get this? These delicious fries?
Joints for jabs, that's what they're calling it.
Free joints today to those who could prove they got the COVID vaccine.
There's also a burger element to this.
You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
We're increasingly hearing about fully vaccinated people infected with COVID.
Did you get the booster?
Yes.
I got it too.
I don't care if you're Donald Trump. I don't care if you're Bill Gates. I don't care who you are. You come at children with experimental Nuremberg Code violating vaccines that you broke the law to ram through. You are terrorist in league with Joseph Mengele 2.0.
We have a player down on the court. We'll try to get more information.
Johnson taken out on a stretcher and rushed to local Tallahassee Memorial Hospital.
Leading cardiologist says cluster of collapses in footballers likely to be just a coincidence. A terrible coincidence at that, but just a coincidence. Yes, just a coincidence.
You gotta shun people into getting vaccinated.
You really need to get vaccinated.
Get vaccinated.
Listen to our government agencies. These guys are telling the truth. You know, there's no conspiracy here, folks. Just right. Get your damn vaccine.
I recommend taking the vaccines. Take the vaccines. Take the vaccines. Take the vaccines. Take the vaccines.
Take the vaccines.
Post it.
What do you think, man? What do you think? Now, Craig just leaned over and said to me, he thinks maybe that's a body double, that that's not really Trump saying this stuff. What's going on, folks? How can he be so blatant? How can he be so blatantly against what his base is for?
He's a narcissist. He needs to be elected again.
There's some truth there, isn't there, Paul? There's some truth there. But will he get elected? Paul, will he get reelected if he continues to support that?
Nope.
I don't think so.
That's what I don't get about it. Silver.
Coach, this is a partial to everything that's going on, but I would say to Christians who know the Lord truly, but don't really, really recognize where we are or are having lots of questions, I say, welcome to the war.
Hey, it is a war, is it? Is it? It's a war. Now, folks, this ain't something just to sneeze at. How can he be doing this? How can he be doing this?
Hey, Coach. You know, it was on Trump's watch that COVID-19 was revealed. Now, and then Trump, you know, started pushing the pharmaceuticals to start developing vaccines, and they said, we're not going to do anything until you give us immunity from prosecution, and all that went through. But Trump's administration is the one that his people, they may not all have been, you know, for him, so to speak, but his administration is the one that orchestrated all of this billions and billions of dollars going to these pharmaceuticals to produce, to find and produce these vaccines. And then they saw the opportunity to keep those billions flowing in by requiring more shots and by requiring boosters and stuff. But follow the money, and Trump started the money train on the vaccines, and the money train is what is steering and guiding the vaccine situation.
We've lost Coach again. Rochelle, come on in.
Hey, thanks, Vince. You know, I've been trying to, you guys know, I jumped off the Trump train a while ago because it sounds like a red flag gun laws were passed here in Florida because of him. His daughter and his son-in-law, they're Kabbalah. She wears the red string around her wrist. Warp speed. Well, okay, the reason he can brag about getting this vaccine to market before any ever in history is because, you know, they didn't do any of the appropriate testing. Well, and the testing that they did do, you know, all the animals died. This should not be on the market. I have been thinking maybe there's another side where the powers that be are setting Trump up to take the fall along with Fauci with these vaccines. I don't know, but they've got him trailing along, still telling his base to take the vaccine, and nobody in his base wants it. So there's got to be something bigger than him that's threatening him.
Oh, that's a good point.
All right, Kevin Van Story.
Congress put together a Trump sign, $6 trillion worth.
Kevin, you're really, really quiet. Can't hear you.
Sorry.
All right, Dale.
Yeah, the thing about and I think Dr. Paul actually said it in one word: narcissism. A narcissist hates admitting that they're wrong. Go back to Larry Starr. It was under Trump. Somebody's coming back in there. It was created under Donald Trump. The great thing about Trump is that he is a narcissist. He does not want to.
All right, Dale. Yeah, we can't hear. Coach, are you in, sir?
Turn off your mic, Coach.
You're good.
I keep losing my internet.
Spencer, put me in the queue.
Go ahead, Dave. Coach, we have you. Audio only.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Listen, I keep losing the internet in this room, so tomorrow I'll be in a different room. I'll let you guys wrap it up and take it from here. God bless y'all. I'm sorry for the lousy show today. I'll do better tomorrow.
Coach, you can go ahead and close
it
out.
Congratulations.
We've only got 2 minutes. You can go ahead.
Well, listen, so try to help me today. I'm going to do the Brighteon show. I'm going to do it out on the street. Help us out there. That'll be at, I see we're on Central Time here, so that screwed me up, number one. That's at 11 o'clock Eastern Time. And I'll get better internet tomorrow. Carry on. God bless you guys. Thanks.
Amen, Coach.
God bless you.